Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
We had a very special, special thing happen this week in WWE. We got two episodes of Raw back to back.
You don't say.
Yep. I mean, we had to pay bajillions of dollars for one of them.
That seems odd.
But yeah, they decided to do an episode of Raw on a Sunday.
Okay.
So, and then do an episode of Raw on Monday.
Yeah, surprisingly, that first episode of Raw was, they called it Night of Champions. Am I pronouncing that right?
That was a weird thing, but I guess it's what's best for business to do an episode of Raw.
Any wrestling type promotion should start off with a 20-minute rant by Triple H, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's how you could tell it was straight out of the old classic Raw handbook.
Right.
You start with that promotion.
Absolutely.
There's not a match. Not a match.
Okay, Joel.
What?
We've said some silly things in the past.
Yes.
Now you're just completely effing ridiculous.
Pshaw.
Pshaw all around.
So
yeah, we literally got a 20-minute promo to start off Night of Champions, which I thought bode well for the card.
You guys could really tell they did not want to do this.
No, like, dear Lord, no. They could have just scratched Night of Champions, just moved straight into the battle.
Move Battleground.
I keep wanting to call it Battlefront. I don't know.
I want that Battlefront, don't you?
I want the new Battlefront now.
If they move Battlefront. Look, you're gonna get if you're gonna move Battleground up like a week or 2 weeks, get a little more space between that and Hell in a Cell, and I'd have been fine with that.
I would have been dandy, yeah.
But they didn't do that, and now we have to talk about this.
No, we do have the kickoff show, which was the tag team turmoil match between Primetime Players, Tons of Funk, the Usos, Heath Slater, and Drew McIntyre from 3MB.
Yes.
The Real Americans with Zeb Coulter. And so, I'm assuming you believe that 3MB would have won if they had Jinder Mahal.
Of course.
Jinder Mahal instead of which one?
Oh, I was on Jinder Mahal. I figured it's just a numbers game.
Oh, as a third, okay.
And as much as I've heard about numbers games, then clearly that's what it is.
Numbers game apparently wins everything.
Of course.
So, next time I'm playing the game of life, I'm just going to yell out numbers.
That's how you win.
Not, like, specific numbers like 8 or 9, but just the word numbers.
Oh, okay.
And I win.
It's like specific numbers like what?
Just like that TV
Yellow?
Show. Just like that TV show, Numbers, was the highest rated show on television, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, exactly. But to be fair, the E in Numbers was actually a 3, so it was an actual number in the tech numbers.
Right.
Just saying. It's like 7 in the 7 and the...
Okay.
Let's go to the card.
Okay, coming to the card.
This is a rabbit hole we could get way far down in before.
Honestly, I completely blinked out when you started talking. So, the Primetime Players end up winning. They were the last ones to be entered in the turmoil match. Which, I mean, that's fine, and they won, but I really believe that it would have been... Really, it would have been awesome for them to put them up first and have them beat everyone. Yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah,
like, granted, you know, it. Now, if this was like a strung out thing that was given longer than 30 minutes, then yeah, it would have been better.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. Let me compare. Let me just fast forward through everything. This is the first match we have to talk about, and the last thing we have to talk about is Daniel Bryan versus The Shield. At the end of Monday Night Raw. And that's something where I just... love me some Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
That should be able to be said. Go without saying. Of course, Daniel Bryan. But Daniel Bryan shouldn't be able to beat The Shield.
Oh, 1-on-3?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It does more bad than good. Especially with Randy Orton just kind of waiting there.
Right.
I mean, and you have to be able to say that, like, I have to be able to at all times believe that wrestlers are the most easily distracted human beings in the entire world.
Yes.
because
of how many run-ins, and not even like any physical run-ins, but just, you know, somebody going out to the ring, and just their presence distracts people all the time.
DX lost because Shawn Michaels was distracted by a picture of The Undertaker on the Jumbotron. The Miz pinned Shawn Michaels because he was distracted by a picture of The Undertaker. Not the actual Undertaker. The actual Undertaker did not come out.
Well, I mean, come on. Undertaker cannot be bothered to just stand on the stage. No. Oh, wait, that's what he does half the time. Right.
So, I have to at all times believe that if Randy Orton was there, present, and at ringside, not even, like, way up on the stage, he was at ringside.
Yeah.
That should be the most distracting thing in the world for poor Daniel Bryan.
Very true.
So, you know, so I, as cool as it would be for the primetime players to win, to, you know, power through all these people, I'm glad that there's some little semblance of, you know, okay, seriously, the guy who ends it is most well-rested. Right. He's going to take it. And so, I like that.
Fair enough.
Not all the time, obviously.
I'm just saying, like, that would be a cool way to build them.
Well, that's the thing. Not all the time, because, obviously, I watch this because, you know, in regular, I want more often than in regular sports for that Cinderella story to happen, for that guy to beat the odds, for that, you know, impossible best of situation to happen.
Right.
But for that to be a valid thing, every now and then, yeah, the guy who had the best rest and is, you know, ready to go is gonna win. And so, yeah, on the pre-show of freaking Night of Champions, that's fine for that to happen.
Fair enough. So yeah, primetime players win, and they get their title match later on in the show. Then we move on to the actual show. Once we got past the promo portion of the events, we got the first match, which was a surprise match for the Intercontinental Championship, so that, you know, we don't ruin the good name of Night of Champions. Curtis Axel had a title match against Kofi Kingston, because that was surprising that Kofi Kingston was in an Intercontinental title match, right? Right?
You guys, I really try hard.
You guys do not see, you do not see Joel just completely fuming over here. He's about to go on a Sheamus.
No, Night of Champions is the Sheamus of pay-per-views. Oh, I will say it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And this particular Night of Champions is the most Night of Championsist of the Night of Champions.
Yeah.
That it had to be, we have to do. It's literally the exact personification of my main complaint with Night of Champions, where they have to have every title defended.
Mm-hmm.
So this Intercontinental Championship has to be defended. Even though the, like, storyline that they have going involves Curtis Axel being over here in this other match, it's got to happen this way. So yeah, let's literally pry our Kofi Kingston action figure off of the shelf and just throw him haphazardly into the ring so that we can technically fulfill all the requirements, check all the boxes for this.
He's a wildcat, so he'll land on his feet, right?
So, I can't get invested in this. Because nobody is invested in this. The people in the match are not invested in this. Curtis Axel gets to later be in a match with CM Punk. There's no way. Like, and I love Kofi Kingston. I want good things for Kofi Kingston. But there's no way Curtis Axel can be invested in a Kofi Kingston match for the Intercontinental Championship at this moment.
Yeah.
There's no way Paul Heyman can be invested, because all his focus is on this storyline. I would love for Kofi Kingston to be invested, but he's got to know where his spot is in this match, in this storyline.
Right.
Triple H is not invested. Nobody is actually invested. This continues throughout the pay-per-view, but this match is just there to check
the box. Well, I'm sorry. The promo sets the tone.
This follows suit. Yes. Well, it's like, at least this is a match. This is
right.
Just up to setting the tone, where everything else is a drag. And so, this is a textbook case how not to make your event feel like an event. There's nothing eventful feel. There's nothing like, this is moment, this night, tonight.
Okay, there's... Okay, okay. You're saying there was nothing to make this event...
feel eventful? Like, yeah, you try and say it better. Go for it.
I had one, and then you started talking. In order to make this event feel significant.
Significant, worthwhile, okay. Yeah.
I've tried to, you know, try a way to say that sentence without using the same word twice in two different meanings.
Yep. Remember when you weren't allowed to do that, when you had to, like, use a word in a sentence?
Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't let that stand.
Yep. All right. Your fourth grade English teacher is probably proud of you.
I'm Mrs. Carter.
Who is probably also your fourth grade everything else teacher, because that's how fourth grade works.
No. Fourth grade, I had a separate science teacher.
All right.
Science and math, I think. I can't remember her name because I only saw her for like an hour. All right. Okay. moving on from Chris's biography portion of the show, we have the Divas Fatal 4-Way, AJ versus Natalya and Brie and Naomi.
Yep. We had a double sharpshooter for the first time ever for like the third time.
Yep. Thank you for beating me to that joke. I didn't want to do it. And we also got this weird thing with that the internet was... Okay, the commentators mentioned it, but the internet kind of went crazy about it for some reason. Whenever Natalya put Brie on top of Naomi, both women's shoulders were down.
Yes.
And the ref just stood there.
Yes. That's true. That should have been a three count.
It's another ref that should have got fired.
Yes. Yes. The refs were slacking more than anybody else on this pay-per-view.
No kidding.
And on this pay-per-view, to be the most slacky people is really bad.
The refs aren't even invested.
I know. Nobody is invested in this. God.
That's why they use the same, stage set every freaking year. Because you know me. Stage sets matter.
That matters to you, yeah. Yes.
I don't care if the pay-per-view is terrible like WrestleMania 27, but the stage is gorgeous.
This needs to be the last night of champions. This is a...
Can we all just agree that this idea, it was an interesting idea that you had years ago. It didn't work. Just like the Ring of Fire match at SummerSlam. Good idea. Didn't work. Let's never do it again. And move on.
No.
Yeah, and that way we can just, whatever pay-per-view is kind of bunched in the fall like this, we can just take this one out and we'll even everything
out. Here's the other thing, let's also say, don't push stuff so far away from WrestleMania. Like, I know WrestleMania's your eventful thing, but if you're gonna do...
At least don't push don't push Extreme Rules so far after
WrestleMania. No, here's the thing, if you're gonna...
You don't need that 2 months.
If you're gonna do 12 pay-per-views, you have 12 months, 12 pay-per-views.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm totally fine with having WrestleMania at the beginning of the month, and then your next pay-per-view at the end of the next month, so you have almost 2 months gap. Right. I'm fine with that.
You can shorten it up from there.
And you have your build-up, you know, put Elimination Chamber earlier on, so you have that huge build-up there. That's fine. I get it.
However they scheduled it in 2012, it completely worked. They need to go back to that.
Yes. But this is... No. Or you have really great gimmicks in your bunch-up time. That's your other option.
To make us interested. Instead of giving us this just random name to a standard pay-per-view of no significance.
Yes.
You know? Because that's what SummerSlam is for.
And Survivor Series.
And Survivor Series.
More and more Survivor Series.
Very true.
So, I mean, they are begrudging having to put that Survivor Series match into Survivor Series.
Yeah, I remember, what was it, a couple years ago, they were really considering changing the name of Survivor Series, and everyone went into an uproar, and they decided against it.
Because Survivor Series is supposed to be one of the big four, but...
It's supposed to be second to WrestleMania, by most people's accounts.
Yeah.
I wouldn't agree with that. I still think it's Rumble.
Survivor Series at this point, I think, is the fourth of the big four.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, I'd love for it to be big, but it's just not.
No.
Anyway, next up, Rob Van Dam.
Oh, yeah, AJ won, by the way.
Oh, yeah. So,
who cares?
Status quo continues.
Yeah.
Because there's no actual development of anything here. We're just filling time.
Now, if they had actually told some sort of story during this match, it would have been different. It would have been a different thing, regardless of who won.
If they told some sort of story during any match,
yes.
If there was any stakes at any point, any situation here, we could talk about that. But no.
But there wasn't. So yeah.
We got Rob Van Dam wins by disqualification, so he doesn't get the title, which is just more keeping with the status quo.
Mm-hmm. Although, I didn't notice it until tonight. We didn't get any a Brother Del Rio on Raw.
Mm-mm.
And we didn't get any CM Punk.
No, we did not get any CM Punk.
Feels weird. Problem. Well, I mean, more weird for CM Punk. I don't really care about Del Rio.
Del Rio.
Whatever.
I have nothing to say about this match.
Yeah.
I especially have nothing good to say. Like, if I get started on it, I'll complain about that.
That was like they're not being in it.
RVD thing.
Oh, go.
How do you say World Heavyweight Championship in Spanish?
Robin.
It's RVD? No.
RVD, whatever.
And
then he only had one arm to do it with.
Yeah.
Come on. Do that joke whenever you have two functioning arms.
Then we get The Miz defeating Fandango.
Okay.
Because we need filler matches on this.
Okay.
And then we finally get, like, there's stuff I can say about this match.
Yes.
So we're five matches in, and there's actually matches that there's something to talk about, which is the Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman versus CM Punk.
Yes.
The big thing here is, just fast forward through all the stuff, not a bad match between CM Punk and Curtis Axel.
No, it was fun, yeah.
And, you know, in all fairness, Curtis Axel didn't have a bad match earlier with Kofi Kingston.
No.
I was just bitter and begrudging.
You were just more bitter of the tone of the show.
Yes.
Than you were with the actual match.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And obviously I'm going to be a little bit more forgiving because CM Punk. Hooray.
Exactly.
But yeah, interesting thing here is that Ryback came to the rescue of Paul Heyman and basically made Paul Heyman win. Here's the thing.
I'm hoping we get a Whitney Houston bodyguard storyline. Yeah.
Oh, that's dangerous. They've done so good with Darren Young. And watch them drop this ball over a giant cliff.
I mean, okay. You heard Paul Heyman's response to, not Heyman, you heard Lawler's response to Heyman kissing Ryback on the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And he just completely went, you know, oh, this is the grossest thing ever. Like, okay, dude, get over it.
Yeah.
Come on.
But Lawler's, you know, to everything, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the thing, and I mentioned it to you during the show. So, we just got CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
Yes.
And it was beautifully crafted.
Yes.
And the storyline with CM Punk versus Paul Heyman in the emotion. Well done. Beautiful. Brock Lesnar, physical avatar. Wonderful. Great match.
Indeed.
It's fantastic. Everything is spot on, pitch perfect. This entire feud. And so now we've removed Brock Lesnar and we've put in store brand Brock Lesnar.
Right.
We put in the Twonky to Brock Lesnar's Twinkie.
The rye bread?
Yes. So, I know it's really easy. And we haven't gotten Punk and Ryback when they're in this. We got them a while back at Hell in a Cell with Punk as heel and Ryback as face.
Mm-hmm. And their TLC match.
Yeah. So, they could easily put on a good feud here. But it might just feel like a direct-to-DVD sequel to the main event thing here, where half the cast couldn't be bothered to return.
So, Punk and Brock Lesnar was walking tall with Dwayne Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
knock Kevin Sorbo. Love me some Kevin Sorbo.
And then that whatever becomes of Ryback and CM Punk will be walking tall 2, 3, and whatever number they're at
now. There's only two. There's Payback and there's Lone Justice. Do you not know your Walking Tall franchise?
I think we had this discussion before because I think you asked me that exact same question. But yeah, it would be the Walking Tall franchise with Kevin Sorbo.
No. It's going to be more like the Brock Lesnar and CM Punk is...
Or is this the... Or okay, go ahead.
Brock Lesnar and CM Punk is clearly Speed... Where CM Punk and Ryback is clearly Speed 2, where literally one half of the of them could not be bothered to turn. Brock Lesnar's the Keanu Reeves who did not want to come back for this.
I could just full-on keep it in-house and be like, okay, first one was Scorpion King. The one with Ryback and CM Punk is all the Scorpion King prequels.
But that has Batista in it.
Does that actually, that just automatically makes it good?
We have gotten way too convoluted here. The point is, it's really soon to follow up scrawny CM Punk versus giant meathead with Paul Heyman talking. And I'd love to continue the CM Punk and Paul Heyman storyline, and if you can't do it with Curtis Axel, you feel like that's just not enough of a threat, I kind of understand that.
Mm.
I don't know if this is the best way to go. I'm not saying it's not the best way to do it. It totally could be, because I've seen good things from both of these guys, especially when they're in the ring together. So yes. I'm not automatically saying, no, you've done wrong, bad. I'm saying, show me that you've made the right decision now.
Yes. Punk and Ryback, Empire Strikes Back. Punk and Brock Lesnar, Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Punk and Ryback, Phantom Menace.
No, Punk and Ryback, those made-for-TV Ewok movies.
Ooh. I mean, I was going for, like, you know, the... It's all CGI, so you should be entertained, right? You know, and mix that in with the Ryback element.
The Speed 2 Speed is clearly the best one. Because it's literally just one half of the power duo not showing up. But yes.
Yes.
Moving on. Dean Ambrose defeats...
You really like that Speed 2 analogy.
That's the best one.
I know.
It's clearly the best one.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on Dean Ambrose defeating Dolph Ziggler in a singles match for the United Championship?
It was a fine match. Dolph Ziggler did lose cleanly, which, you know, we weren't thrilled about. I honestly thought the match that they had the next night on Raw was a lot better.
Yeah.
And not only because Ziggler won, but just because it was a better match altogether. I don't know. It was fine.
Yeah. It
was filler, to be honest.
No, that's pretty much where I am, is like, yeah, this is okay, and then they did it better for free. Same guys.
Yeah.
Same setup.
Not for the championship.
Genuinely a better match from both of them. It's not like one of them did better the next night, but they both together put on a better match the next night.
Absolutely.
That's why you don't do that.
Yep.
Then the Shield defeats the Primetime Players in their tag team match.
I thought that was really quick.
Yeah.
That was the second shortest match of the night behind the Divas, yeah. I don't know. I thought they would at least keep it close and keep it interesting with Primetime Players. And, you know, as we found out on Raw, they're not going to be in the tag team title scene, you know, because Usos ended up getting the number one contendership
tonight.
So, I mean, I give up on trying to predict tag teams anymore.
I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, I genuinely believe that the Primetime Players are the most interesting dynamic tag team there right now.
Right.
They're the ones I'm most excited to see about. See, they work together as a team. They are both individual personalities that I like. There's a lot there that I would be interested in seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not pushing that.
No, they're not.
I don't know why. I don't get.
I'm
with you. I give up.
I thought they were.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to give them a chance.
It made so much sense.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
They didn't even have Primetime Players in the number one contender match.
Mm-mm.
But then again, they neither did 3 and B, but that's whatever.
I get why you don't put 3 and B in
off the 3 and B train now?
I love 3 and B. I get why you don't put Santino in your number one contendership for the WWE Championship.
He had a really good outing at Elimination Chamber.
When?
2012.
Was it 2012?
Yeah.
I thought it was 2011.
Yeah, it came down to him and Daniel Bryan.
No, I remember.
Yeah.
And it was good. And I, you know, at one point, Drew McIntyre was the chosen one. Like, I believe that each of those guys had something that somehow at some point got them to the WWE. If you gave them serious matches, they could very potentially, like, you have 3 minutes to genuinely impress a crowd. I believe each one of them could do it. But no, they work better as this joke team.
Do they?
Yeah, joke team. Yeah, joke team.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Now, I want to pause here for a moment.
All right, let's pause.
Because we have one match left. And this one match, I'm gonna say best match of the night. I mean, I don't want to speak for both of us.
Yeah, sure. But yeah.
Best match of the night?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I want to take that match and move it aside. So the first seven matches, everything, last match was 17:38, according to what we have bell to bell. Let's go ahead and round it up and say 20 minutes.
Okay. All
right. So the first 2 hours and 40 minutes, judging it on its own, was genuinely useless.
Yes. Complete waste of money.
Nothing happened. Nothing. No titles change hands.
There was a point in the night when we were watching this where I looked over at Joel and he had fashioned a noose out of a belt that he found of mine just laying around, and you were looking up at my bookshelf as if you're looking for a good place to hang yourself.
To be fair, I was actually looking for a book.
Okay, but I mean, but the way you were holding that and the way you were looking up, one could only assume.
It was a genuine coincidence, but I get how your mind went there. I need to make an impassioned plea.
Yes.
At this moment.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be a wake-up call that Night of Champions does not work.
Yeah. And I mean, we're in a day and age in the past couple years where the pay-per-views are steadily pretty good.
Yes.
By and large.
Yes.
Every now and then we'll get an off one, but it's not necessarily the fault of that particular pay-per-view or that particular gimmick.
Yes.
You know, it's just, you know, the matches just didn't blend fine. This one was bad because of the gimmick, almost.
Because of the gimmick.
Because there was so many matches that don't have any sort of storyline, that didn't have any sort of interest, that were just thrown together.
Yes.
Which is why we only had, like, 4 or 5 matches scheduled, you know, before the match.
Here's the thing. With no storyline, I cannot get invested or believe that any title is actually in danger.
Right.
And you know what? You could. I totally get that. You could swerve it and be like, look, we're switching this title right here now. Shoulda. And that's the start of a story. But I don't believe it.
Right.
And you doing that a couple of times every now and then will not be enough to make me think that's a possibility at any point. So, yeah. And again, don't want to speak for both of us. But
yeah, you're right on.
1 through 7, you know, that amount, 2 hours and 40 minutes of this show.
Yeah.
Easily worst pay-per-view of the year.
Yep.
Very possibly the worst pay-per-view of the past 2 years.
Yeah, 2012 was a really good pay-per-view.
And I'm trying, you know, I haven't really put it side-by-side for sureing, but maybe of the past 3 years.
You know what might have been a better pay-per-view?
What?
Capital Punishment.
Capital Punishment. That's the one where I'm like, I might need to go back and actually look at the card and rewatch Capital Punishment.
Why would you do that?
I gotta know if it's worse than this.
You'll have to rewatch the fake President Obama segment.
But that's at the height of.
You'll have to watch the fake President Obama do a spin-a-rooney.
No, I remember. But that's at the height of our heel. Like, there could actually be.
Yes, and he ended up losing his championship match because he got splashed in the face.
Is that the one where he got splashed in the face?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't care for Capital Punishment.
I know.
But this might have been worse. Now let's move on to the actual end of the show. Best match of the night does not make up for nothing.
Right.
But was the genuine, like. And here's the thing, honestly, though, I wasn't that invested in this match either. I knew Daniel Bryan would put on a great match.
Yeah.
I knew Randy Orton would put on a really good match too, thus making this a good, solid match for the both of them.
But the way the pay-per-view went, when Daniel Bryan won, we should have been, you know, excited.
Yeah.
But we weren't, because I don't know, we were kind of down in the dumps by the entire pay-per-view.
I was beaten down by the pay-per-view. Honestly, the storyline, like...
Well, I mean, also, the ending felt odd.
Yeah. Let me again say nothing but good things about SummerSlam.
Yes.
And how they served it, and the week after SummerSlam. But honestly, the build-up to this pay-per-view, it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of...
It's like, hey, let's see how many times we can, you know, get Daniel Bryan's, you know, teeth knocked in.
Yeah, there's a lot of I get it feeling.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to get a rematch at Night of Champions. This is just how it's going to go kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't that excited for this match because it was going to happen. That being said, Daniel Bryan wins the match with what we will soon talk about as a fast count.
Yeah.
Ends the night walking up in victory. And that's how it ends. He easily put on the best match of the night. But that doesn't make up for nothing. Boo.
Yeah.
A solid boo. And this is coming from me.
Yes.
And I feel that that should mean something because I really bend over backwards for you guys. Not you guys, the listeners. I mean, I do. But for you guys, the WWE, I really look for the smallest diamonds in the most rough.
You've been so far backwards that during the last, I want to say, hour of Raw tonight, you played Oregon Trail.
I did, but I also kept up.
I just thought that was fun.
But I was down, man.
Yeah, I know.
I am down on the product right now. And here's the thing.
But you shouldn't be. Like, everyone's saying how good it is right now.
I know.
Raws are great. The Raws are really good.
I know.
It's just this pay-per-view has you down.
It has me so far down, man.
And is that a case of Raws being so good now that you're expecting something spectacular every pay-per-view now?
I don't know.
By comparison.
And that's the thing. It's like, I might be being unfair because, you know... I one event should not bring me this low.
No.
I mean, the other thing is, if you are gonna have an off night, don't make it a Sunday.
Right.
Don't
make it a pay-per-view, no.
But I don't... I don't fully know. It's probably also... There's a lot of small things. Ziggler is not where Ziggler should be. And this is it, kind of. I don't want to be too dark and down and pessimistic, but when Sheamus and Cena come back, that's it. If Ziggler is not a top card guy by then, he will not be a top card guy.
Right.
This is the window. And it's not that he... I feel like it's not that he's not grabbing it, because he is putting on the show.
Right.
Everything I need from him. Something's not clicking for him backstage. I don't know if he's being punished or somebody is, like, going to the bathroom at the wrong time every week. But it's not clicking there. I like the corporation thing. I don't know where it's going. That makes me anxious.
Right.
I don't know. Like, maybe I'm just like, we're going full steam ahead, and there's been great road so far, but I know there's a cliff, and I just can't see it.
Right.
You know? I don't want to be this down guy.
I know. You like being happy.
Mm-hmm.
You like being optimistic, because
yes,
that's something that we've always tried to do about on this podcast, because there's so many other podcasts that's just, you know, people complaining about wrestling, and we don't want to be those same guys.
Yeah.
We want to be something different for everyone listening.
Exactly.
We want to be positive. Be like, hey, this is what we like about wrestling. But there's, you know, plenty of times where there's legitimate stuff to complain about, and this mm-hmm. pay-per-view is definitely one of them.
Yes.
So I completely understand. I'm right with you, buddy.
All right. Thanks.
Anytime.
Sorry I have to just complain and air my grievances, but...
I mean, that's what this... If anything, this podcast is therapy for you.
Yeah.
To just get all this out.
Let me get all this out.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I mean, because I knew you weren't a big fan of Night of Champs. I didn't know you were this angry about it until I hit record.
Yeah?
Then you just let it all out. It's like, wow, you masked that well.
I have complained every year about Night of Champions.
I know. But never this fervently.
This is a bad one, man.
It was. I I can't even deny that.
And this was a bad one at the fault of Knight of Champions. Like, you literally, you removed Knight of Champions and you put in...
Anything else. And this would have been a better card. It would have been a better knight top to bottom.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. There are not many pay-per-views where I'm honestly looking forward to the gimmick. I think Rumble and Money in the Bank are it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
I like TLC.
I really like Elimination Chamber.
I like Elimination Chamber fine.
But only having one Elimination Chamber match felt kind of... I mean, I guess I'm spoiled.
Yeah.
I'm used to getting more than one. So...
That was a unique problem this year because of The Rock.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that, where that puts Rock above the gimmick, and that's a problem, I feel.
Yeah, because we got the Royal Rumble match before the Rock match, so there it is again, yeah.
Yeah. And you are literally, you're saying you're buying this for Elimination Chamber, but you're getting half the Elimination Chamber because of The Rock.
Right.
That is literally, you know, the people who are buying the show, theoretically, to buy for Elimination Chamber, because that's what they want, are not getting as much Elimination Chamber because of this one guy.
But do you really think most people are buying... If someone knew, like, oh, hey, you could get Elimination Chamber for the Elimination Chamber match, and there's this Rock match, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I'll totally buy it for the Elimination Chamber match.
No, I really
think it would be like, oh, it's the Rock.
No, I totally understand it.
Yeah.
And, you know...
You're just saying,
honestly, that's how I feel,
from
too.
From a theoretical standpoint.
From a high, lofty, looking down on my nose upon them. No. It's, you know, that's the same thing where there's, you know, fewer Hell in a Cell matches in Hell in a Cell. And then, you know, in a complete hypocritical stance, because personally, you know, I don't like Hell in a Cell, because that's the type of match that should be used to end grudges, not, oh, it's October, you guys. Let's put this, you know, match that would be a normal match otherwise into a cell.
Right.
You know, I think it's better used in End of an Era. I thought that was a great usage for it.
Yeah.
But kind of gets undercut because later that same year, the opening feud of CM Punk and Ryback gets the same treatment as this End of an Era match.
Yeah, I mean, they justified it with, you know, every time Ryback gets close enough, CM Punk's running, you know.
Yeah.
So, that's how they justified it, but I get what you're saying, yeah.
But it's a stretch.
Yeah.
So, anyway, on to Raw. Onward.
Onward to Raw.
I mean, we kind of covered
vacated the WWE title because of the quick count.
I gotta say, though, I am really impressed with Triple H and his replays and his side-by-sides.
Okay, and it was fine in that first segment, but during the main event match at the end of the night, and Michael Cole's going through those same replays, I'm like, can you please freaking stop?
Yeah.
We saw this all repeatedly. Like, Triple H went through it very thoroughly to where we don't really need to see it again. And we don't need, you know, Michael Cole using his here's how to download our iPhone app voice. I don't need that.
Yeah. So,
because with Cole, apparently all replay footage is equal.
All three counts are equal?
Yes.
Of course. But I like that.
I like Triple H's usage of it.
I like Triple H's usage of it. Honestly, I liked the swerve. Especially because, I'm sure reading way too much into it because... As you pointed out, like, they're making it up as they go along, and
yeah,
this is going to be a Kevin Nash send himself the text kind of result, I'm sure. Yeah. But
Armstrong basically paid himself to do that.
Yes.
He's like, I have this $20 bill that has Daniel Bryan signed on it, right? And it's in crayon. And it's in Armstrong's handwriting. This is how you use checks, right?
I would like one $20 bill, please. I'm willing to pay $20 for it.
Can you give me one without crayon writing?
But there is this moment and where Triple H is basically firing Armstrong. Like, here's your severance package. And the thing is, the really easy result, and the one you're kind of assuming, is, oh, Triple H screwed Daniel Bryan again, and
he's covering up his tracks by
on air,
yeah,
saying this is what we're doing,
and you know, which you know, it's Armstrong wasn't expecting that. You know, he thought you know it would get resolved some other way.
Yeah,
but basically, this is you know, here, go away for a while. We'll give you plenty of severance and money, and you know, to take care of yourself for a very long time.
Yeah,
you know.
So there is a lot of like, oh, just intrigue, and yeah. As I was saying earlier before Night of Champions, not a whole lot of build, a lot of kind of floundering with this thing.
Yeah.
Kind of feeling like, oh, we gotta wait for the rematch thing to happen. So, hopefully there is some build-up to Battleground.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, you know, as we've mentioned, since Battleground is the next pay-per-view, if there is a Battleground gimmick, which we don't know, there's, you know, the War Games recreation rumor kind of thing. But it might just be, you know, here's a cool sounding word, we're slapping it on a poster, right. Kind of thing. But if there is any kind of gimmick, now is the time to start really pushing it.
Because we don't have that much time.
Mm-mm.
We've got 2 more Raws.
Do we really only have 2 more Raws?
I believe so, yeah. It's because it's the first weekend of October, I believe. It's
that time of year again, I guess.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So they need to get going on this.
Yep.
Because there was no mention of Battleground tonight.
Mm-mm.
By anyone.
Nope. So,
I just, you know, now that they have a vacated title, like, it really, like, anytime we have that situation, I always get giddy, be like, maybe we'll get a tournament. So yeah. I really think that would be fun. It'll right. be something, you know, it hasn't been done in a while.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, it was done.
It was done, yeah, when CM Punk was gone, yeah. It
was done. So, yeah, no,
and I was kind of rushed onto one Monday Night Raw and ended on the next
No, week. It didn't.
Yeah.
It ended that night.
No, because they were going to have that final match between Mysterio and Cena, and Vince McMahon came out and interrupted him. Like, yeah, we'll move this to next week, but I really have to say this.
No, because Rey Mysterio has held the title for less than a day. Rey Mysterio held it and lost it. Rey Mysterio did not hold the title for a week.
No, they didn't even have that match, though. Because they did their match at the beginning of the next week's Monday Night Raw. And then Cena, I forgot what happened, but Cena got it. No, I'm sorry. It came down to Miz and Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
They were going to have the match. McMahon, he interrupted him, said he had something to say, we'll move the match to next week. So the next week started off with Miz and Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
Mysterio wins, and then that night, because John Cena, he deserves his rematch. So, yeah, because that was when Cena won, and that's when Punk came back out.
Punk came back, and they both had the titles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it I have for Raw.
There's
a little bit more
intro. Did you want to talk about Dusty?
Dusty came back. They did really, really, you know, pull at that kayfabe.
Yeah.
I'm really liking Stephanie.
Yeah.
More Stephanie on my screen, please.
Yeah, because she goes all in for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, so. You know, she apparently voiced her displeasure with Randy Orton, how she wants him to basically be more like that. Like, you know, we want more of the old Randy Orton, not this watered down garbage that you're
PG era Randy Orton.
Yeah, we want
like they didn't quite say it, but yeah. like
hey Randy, go back to the one where you were a jerk to me, and you know assaulted me and my husband and my family.
I mean, I like that acknowledgement, and I think that speaks well for the character. Is this yeah. like literally we don't care. There's nothing personal. This is genuinely yeah. ruthless business tactics happening.
And you know who also was involved in that little storyline?
Hmm.
Shane McMahon.
I want Shane back. But I would love for, especially with this growing Divas divisions, for Stephanie to very specifically take on the Divas division
yeah.
under wing. Largely because I want her to have a Vince McMahon role in that, where she keeps getting pulled into matches and having to fight.
Yeah.
And maybe she doesn't want that, and if she doesn't want that, that's totally fine. I shouldn't have to wish that upon her. If she wants to be just a, you know, talking head kind of thing.
Well, I'm pretty sure you're not in that authority.
No.
Yeah. To order her into matches.
No, there's nothing there.
Right.
but I want it.
I know you do, and I would be very happy to see it as
but
well.
But honestly, I want it because I loved it so much when Vince did it. And Stephanie's right. doing such a good young Vince right now.
Yeah. She is very much the closest to Vince,
mm-hmm.
to that character. She can be the whole, like, very, you know, professional, and then she can just pull out the whole Miss McMahon
yeah. type. Well, that's thing. The thing, is like,
just that's... like, he can pull out the Mr. McMahon thing.
That's what I've said I wanted from Triple H, is I want him to be this heel boss guy, because he can still get in the ring and take the punches, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, he's right now just... He's just the stern, but always has a justifiable reason for everything mm-hmm. type leader.
Right.
Which is very much Vince. He's more slick about it.
Yeah.
He's more smooth about it.
Well,
whereas Vince was just punch him in the mouth type.
That's what I'm saying, is Stephanie's doing a better Vince than Triple H right now.
Right, yeah.
So.
And yeah, basically they get the best of both worlds, I mm-hmm. think. The both of them going at it together is a lot better off.
Yeah.
It's what's best for business. I hate myself so much. I'm so sorry for saying that, everyone.
It was cool to see Dusty back.
Yep.
And I am enjoying the furtherment of this Cody Rhodes storyline.
Yeah, and I like how they're keeping it on everyone's mind.
Keeping it
while
relevant
Cody's while Cody's
gone. Yeah, exactly.
Enjoying his honeymoon,
I'm sure. Yeah, it's like word for word what I was going to say. So
yes.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. All right. That's it for me for Raw, though. And touched on all the big points.
Yeah, we talked about there was no Punk.
There is no Punk. That's a problem.
But I'm assuming we're going to get 3 straight hours of CM Punk in Chicago next week.
That better happen. God. There's no noise quite like Chicago reacting to Punk. Like, I'm excited for that.
You know what's a little bit like that?
What?
That's right, it's time for the Mail Sack! Mail Sack. Mail Sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail Sack. Mail Sack. Let's all go inside. Mail Sack. Mail Sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail Sack. Mail Sack. It's your mail sack. We have one piece of mail in the mail sack. Mail Sack's been pretty dry lately.
I know.
Let's wetten its whistle.
Sure.
This comes from... Our good old buddy Neil. Will the current corporation storyline still be going when Sheamus and Cena come back? And if so, speculate as to how they will be involved.
So he says, and if so. So if I just am like, no.
No.
There we go. As always, you can find us on Glass.
No, okay. Come on. Oh, come on. Entertainment.
Yeah, obviously. Okay. Real quick. Get it out of the way, because the obvious answer, this would be a perfect time for Cena to turn heel. He's always been a company man. Now he's a company man. Okay.
Yeah. First he was a businessman. Now he's a businessman. I hate myself.
Yeah, the other kind of thing is Cena comes back and this is not the company that I love. This is not the WWE right. that I knew. I would really hate that, because...
That would take all the shine away from Daniel Bryan being the leader.
Yeah, that basically...
the people raging against the machine.
That basically puts, you know...
I hate myself again.
You're the worst.
Oh, I'm the worst.
That puts, you know, Big Daddy Cena has to come in and clean up the mess that Daniel Bryan made when he was supposed to be, the face of the group.
Oh, Big Daddy Cena. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Just that just sent a rush of total divas thoughts to my head.
I would, however, actually really dig this would be the perfect time to turn Sheamus heel. Sheamus is company man. Triple H is the one that, you know, really kind of nurtured Sheamus and found him
and there,
behind the scenes.
And there can only be one.
So there's lots of, you know, blah blah there.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously both of those guys are at a level where they're going to return as faces.
Right.
But
I mean, you know, you can always go the Jericho route and, you know, come back as a face, but then, you know, immediately do something that's despicable that
yeah.
immediately everyone's just like, oh, boo, you know?
Honestly, my current preferred thing is you'd spend from now until basically the Royal Rumble, with Triple H trying to put a belt on somebody and Daniel Bryan stopping him. And then finally at, I guess it would be at Royal Rumble, Triple H is like, I can't trust this belt with anybody but me. It's going to be for me. I'm entering the Rumble. I'm taking this belt away from Daniel Bryan, or from whoever. Sheamus returns to the Rumble. Sheamus betrays some big face to help Triple H win the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So then you got a cool Triple H versus Daniel Bryan main event match at WrestleMania. You have Sheamus as this corporate stooge kind of thing.
They're already best buddies.
Yeah. I would even be cool with some sort of, like, Triple H says, I get the WWE Championship, you get the rest of them. And then the Shield and Sheamus kind of rally up and gather everything, all the other belts.
Including the Divas?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
If you want to cover all the bases, cover all the bases.
Yeah. Start making up new belts, bringing back the European title and the hardcore title.
Right.
And the Canadian title.
All those obscure ones, yeah.
Yep. And the TNA title, because I'm sure it'll be vacant by then.
Obviously.
But, yeah, that would be my... Since I don't want to, you know, if this is a perfect time to turn Cena heel, I'm totally going to cheat and say this would be a perfect time to turn Sheamus heel. Go.
Oh, crap, I have to answer it too, won't I?
Yeah.
No. We already did that joke, didn't we?
Go. Go.
There's that, and there's always the both returners' faces, and they both join Daniel Bryan in the fight and take them all down. Then you got Daniel Bryan, Cena, and Sheamus taking out the Shield once and for all kind of situation.
That sounds Mania-y.
Oh, no, I'm not a Mania. They're not going to put John Cena in a match like that at WrestleMania.
Maybe at WrestleMania 30. Just because there's enough part-timers coming back. I mean, I doubt it.
No, they'll put them up against somebody bigger. I don't know. Put them in a feud that has nothing to do with the corporation.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I could see them doing that with Sheamus. They're going to involve Cena in some way, because that's what they do with every Cena angle. Or every angle that doesn't involve Cena, they find a way to insert him into it. So, I mean, the best route would be for one of them, if not both, to go the corporation route, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something happens that leads to the Shield breaking up, because we figured that's going to happen
someday
in the near future, probably. Something happens to the Shield where they split up, or they're on the shelf or something like that. And, you know, they need more men, more bodies, or whatever, and that's when Sheamus and Cena answer the call.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, we don't know what'll happen with the whole Randy Orton of it, because that instantly makes John Cena the face of the corporation, rather than Randy Orton.
Right.
Or they could play up the whole, you know, Randy, you had your chance to try to be the face, and didn't quite work out, so we're gonna bring these guys in.
I mean...
Which, we're getting a little bit of that. Which, you know, we got a little bit of that on Raw, which led to Randy Orton completely demolishing Miz in Cleveland.
Yeah.
In front of his homely parents.
I mean, also, you know, face Randy, heel Cena would be a really pretty match.
Again.
Again?
Hmm?
Face Orton and heel Cena?
Oh, I mean, well...
It's like, that happened in OVW...
Fair enough.
When Randy Orton fought the prototype, and the prototype was a heel.
I just heard the last names. Fair enough.
So, alright. That's it for me?
Yep, that is it for me.
Alright. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. We live tweet Monday nights and appropriate Sundays.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to address here on the show... Yeah, fill up that mail sack. Jeez, you guys are slacking. Come on. I want to answer some stuff. But send those to classroomingattire at gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so look us up there. You subscribe, you get episodes to you every single week. You could give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review, that would be great.
Yep. And if you are listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there, check out all the great articles going up this week. I have my usual column. I'm also covering and doing the Raw 10 Thoughts, which should be up by the time that this podcast drops on their heads. But yeah, check all that stuff out, and I'm sure it'll be great.
Also, do not forget that our official WrestleMania countdown has begun.
Yes.
We are going through 30 WrestleManias in 30 weeks on the countdown to WrestleMania 30. And to get that, as we said before, if you are subscribed to iTunes, do nothing. You will continue to get Classy Ring Attire Presents the WrestleManias all on the exact same feed.
If you're listening to us on any other format, make sure that you are subscribed to us on iTunes to get these WrestleMania podcasts. They will not be on any other format.
They're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're fun.
So, it has begun. WrestleMania 1.
Yep.
Is now available. All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah. Thank you.